Evening and welcome to another episode of What Should I Watch? Episode 6 this week. And first, we
Whoa.
have to start off by apologizing for not having a show last week. It was all Steve's fault.
My fault.
Nothing really any of us could do about it. It was all down to Steve. But speaking of being more reliable than Steve, Mike, how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, Mark. My critical advantage this evening is that I'm not Steve.
I think that's both of our advantages every day.
Hey, welcome back, Steve.
So, Steve, how was your fucking week off?
It was fantastic. I'm so glad to be back in work. It's easier than taking a holiday. It's just so
Sometimes
much
taking a
work.
holiday with kids is
Yeah,
harder. Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's just work, isn't
There's just so much stuff, So much
So,
eating goes on. Jesus. You don't, you
it's
haven't
funny.
fed and you have to start prepping more food again. It's just
But
unreal.
do you remember the first lockdown
Yeah.
when there was 14 meals in a day? Like, it seemed like the only thing I did was answer email and cook for all the children that all of a sudden were living with me full time, which I didn't sign up for. There was meant to be creches and schools involved. Next thing, they were always here.
That's funny.
Speaking of holidays, right? There's an unusual parallel actually between holidays and TV this week.
Okay.
So I watched a documentary on Netflix called Sophie, A Murder in West Cork.
Oh yeah, did you
Oh,
watch it?
yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I watched it all. I was very
Oh.
interested in it and by it because it's very obvious the way this TV show is pitched because obviously it's all in the perspective, right? It's
That's the
very
point I
obvious
was going to
from.
bring up straight away, but go on, yeah.
So Netflix is convinced that they know who the killer is anyway, right? And he's still living in this village in West Cork. So I'm thinking it would be a great holiday just to go and chat to him. Because he's down there. I'd be like, so what's it like? Do you get vampire powers?
He's talking to lots of people. He's talking to Sinead O'Connor during the week, apparently. And
But this is it. He's going to be talking to everyone because he's the
actually,
most recognizable Egypt you'd ever
my
meet,
good
like.
wife has seen him down there as well. So,
No doubt. And
he's
she's still alive.
accessible. Oh
She's
yeah.
still alive.
She's
So this is the documentary about the murder of Sophie Toscan Duplantier, a French film and TV. Oh, sorry, the blurb on IMDb is completely wrong. Luckily I stopped before I misled the listening
Fake
public.
news. Yep.
Anyway, she was killed in a holiday cottage in West Cork in 1986, and no one has been convicted of the crime, though Netflix seems pretty sure that they know who the killer is. And over the miniseries, it kind of outlines the case for and against, but then doesn't bother making the case against him being the killer. They just leave you convinced that it's him.
Yeah. I actually had a blazing row with my mother about this.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't even see the show, but she, like you, came out utterly convinced of his guilt.
I'm
And
sure
I
it's
was like,
obvious. Did you not watch it? It's obvious.
I
Did
haven't, no, I don't want to watch
you listen to the
it.
podcast?
No.
Because apparently there's a couple of things have been done about this murder over the years, and
Yeah.
they all have a different perspective.
Oh yeah, there's
Yeah.
another
Like
series. Yeah.
I listened to one episode of the podcast, and it immediately started talking about how terrible it was that this person was ostracized for being different, basically. And so the opposite, perspective.
Yeah. So in this particular episode, did they go into the unbelievable fuck ups that the guards
Oh yeah, they
did?
spent a lot of time on that now, in fairness.
Yeah.
But their take was, if it wasn't for the guards, it would have been handy enough to get them, like. But there was a couple of fairly magnificent mess ups by the guards.
Yeah, they're good like that. But
So in other,
no, I mean at the end.
go
Go
on, yeah,
ahead, Steve.
no, go on.
No, I at the end of it comes down to due process. This guy had a bungled investigation. He's had the French trying to try him in another country.
In absentia.
Yeah. Which just to my way of thinking, this is completely beyond the
You have to
pale.
think it was back in the day as well. He was a handy Brit to blame it on too,
Oh yeah.
you
Yeah.
know.
What are the
Yeah. I know, yeah, it was a pity you got away with it, all right, but what can you do? But so look, that's what I was watching. What were you guys watching?
Oh, actually, I want you to watch Murder in the Cottage for some perspective. for the other side of the
cottage.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one her good self has watched now, and she's sort of going, I don't know. He certainly likes the attention, but I don't think that's... You know, so... I think it's on one of the terrestrials that we might have subscribed to Now TV first or something like that.
That's gas. So there's yet another. It's a Sky original, yeah. So it'll be on Now TV or Sky if you have that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So there's a whole other TV show with a different perspective. That is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really shows you, like, you don't ever want to be accused of murder. Like, someone's trying to stick something on you, I tell you.
I know, yeah. So you have the prosecution on one channel and the defense on the other.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, Micah, I must tell you, I finished Calls.
Oh, you got through
did
it?
Did you? Yeah.
I rationed myself.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to watch one episode a night, no more.
And, how did you find it?
Oh, so good. So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a hard enough thing to describe, right? Because the whole thing is the premise, you know? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was very good. And once it got to a stage, I think about episode 6, the one before the plane, okay, where I was going, okay, look, I get this now. I know what's going on. The next episode needs to be a bit different. And then the plane episode was really good.
Yeah.
And that set up everything that followed for the big finale. So it was well paced. The episodes were really good. I think it was only that one episode where I wondered briefly, was I getting bored of this?
But no, what was your take on the end? Did it do it for you, or were you disappointed?
No, I was happy with that. I was happy with that. It's good. Like, I don't want to say it, but I think it was a good ending.
No, for me, that was the weak part of it. I remember switching off, and I was like, I don't know
you're
about
that. You're a cynic, though. You're a cynic.
Yeah, maybe.
You wanted more bloodshed and misery and misfortune. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really want to say too much more without spoiling that ending. Like,
are you guys hyped about Fear the Walking Dead season 7?
I am, yeah. To a degree.
Yeah.
Well, so The Walking Dead, I think we talked about this on this very podcast, in fact. But season 6, the finale felt like a series finale. Like, it was the end of the show because it was so rushed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, they unveiled this big bad who was a really good character. I talked about this, I won't go into too much detail, but they unveiled him, outlined his plot, and then it all unraveled. The plot happened, you know, and then it was done. And they were kind of standing there going, well, sure, could be worse, more or less. It was the end of the thing. And I was kind of thinking, like, if they do get cancelled, that's a fine ending. If you knew that was the last episode, you wouldn't really be too pissed off, right? But it turns out it's not then. And because they've fizzled that storyline out, I'm not like, you need a good antagonist in The Walking Dead, either of The Walking Deads. When they have a good antagonist, it's interesting. When they don't want it, it's a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even up to season 6 yet, so I haven't.
Okay.
Up to your part.
It is a good show. Like, it's a great show. Morgan carries that show by himself pretty much once he gets into it. Like, but you know what I did? I watched the last few episodes. I'd fallen behind on The Walking Dead, the flagship.
Okay.
And there was, do you know how they stopped filming because of the pandemic, which was early, and then they kind of rattled together a few episodes and go, here you are, this will keep you going on another way.
Uh-huh.
All of those episodes are shocking.
Okay.
And I think it's because they couldn't have full cast or something. Filming. I don't know that, but each episode focuses on one specific character, except for one that focuses on Daryl and the battered wife, what's her name? No one battering her now,
oh.
I tell you.
Carol,
yeah. One focuses on them too. But like, the last one then focused on Negan. And that was the best of them because it's Negan and he's class, but it was still like episodes full of nothing happening.
Yeah. Walking Dead's been doing that for a long time.
Not to this extent, though. Yeah. Have you watched these particular episodes? Do you know what I'm talking
about? Not these ones, no.
They're so bad. Yeah. Like, it was like, I was watching them on the couch and Donna could tell, like, I was every so often I go, this is so bad. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know, because you're on your phone and you're barely watching it. Like, because you don't need to. There's nothing you need to know about, because it's just telling you stuff. People talk.
Yeah. There's no word of missing Rick Grimes.
No, although he's all over the trailer for season 10. Is it 10 or 11? Whatever. This is the last season now. They're doing three half seasons, and that's them done.
Yeah, there is season 11 coming up. I think there's a new director. I think I read that during the week. Anyway, big news though.
Mm-hmm.
He-Man is back. Masters of the Universe Revelations.
Really?
A cartoon on Netflix. But off the top of your head, can you guess how many seasons there were of He-Man back in the day? 83 was when it started, or 82.
Yeah. I'd say 20 seasons.
I'd say 2.
Is that because you know?
No, but there's very few episodes.
It's a bit of Fawlty Towers. There was only 2 seasons. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed to run forever, though, didn't it?
It did.
It was reruns. That's why I guessed too.
Yeah. And anyway, yeah, so they're coming back with, what's her name? She-Ra?
She-Ra.
So oh, yeah, of course. They have the whole amulet thing, you know, where it's the sword of power that she has to get before Eternia is destroyed by Skeletor, sort of to team up with all the other characters and finish off what they started or whatever, you know, at the end of season 2. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. Jesus.
So are they going to turn He-Man into some kind of beta male now?
Oh, no. I've seen the poster. Yeah. There's no way you'd call him a metrosexual now by any means.
He doesn't have a little subtle handbag at the back, no?
No, this dude is ripped.
God. At least I haven't
completely... Is there a movie coming out?
Is it a movie? I don't know if it's a movie or a series. I thought it was a series.
I think there's both.
Oh, really?
But I know that your man from Jay and Silent Bob is the director of the animated series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a new show. It's on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be 2 parts. Okay. And it starts on July 23rd. Cool. Oh, Man-at-Arms, He-Man, Orko, and Kringer.
Cringer.
Cringer, sorry. Jesus Christ, Cringer.
Who's Cringer?
Who's Cringer? Yeah, it's because I'm reading it, not thinking about it, yeah.
Speaking of heroes, it's probably time now.
Yeah.
It's probably time, right?
We're going to talk about you.
It's been a full 2 weeks since the latest installment to the MCU hit cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
Black Widow, ladies and gentlemen, is out and available for viewing. So, everybody remembers, how spoiler heavy on Endgame can I go? I suppose it's spoiled now at this stage, right?
That's fits free.
It's not new.
So, as everybody knows, Black Widow dies in Endgame, which means that nothing that happens in this movie matters. Over to you guys.
You couldn't have said it better myself, Mark. I started this from a real low point. Because I had heard Scarlett Johansson giving out about being treated like a piece of ass. And I'm like, why Scarlett? That's exactly what you are. That's why you're the best paid actress in Hollywood. So it seems like she's biting the hands that feed her. I think the movie didn't disappoint my low expectations. It really is fucking brain dead. But I'll let Steve get his initial thoughts.
I was misled by the reviews that I'd read, saying it was going to be less sort of cartoony, comic booky, and more serious, a bit more like Joker. Yeah. We were discussing this the other day, actually. Mm-hmm. Oh, how misled I was.
And, dear, Steve.
Yes.
Did they lie to you?
They did, severely. Yeah. I was very disappointed in this movie, I have to say, because I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to, you know, the way Joker was kind of like a wow movie. You sort of went, God damn, that was a good movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I think half of that was because they treated it seriously and it wasn't comic booky as such, but they had all the key components from the comic book that
he was still the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. The biggest problem with this, I found, was the sentimentality.
Mm-hmm.
there was too much of it. The movie was actually, straight away, the movie was too long. There was no need for it.
Yeah.
Right, and they could have cut all the sentimentality bullshit out of it. They just went OTT with it. The acting wasn't good. Just wasn't good.
I think that was the acting, though, or the shitty script?
Both, in fact, because even with the shittiest of scripts, good actors can make, you know, you don't go, oh, God, that was brutal, you know.
Yeah.
you know, the side stories, there was no need for them either, you know. The chat was just cringy. Like, at times, you're just going, oh, God, damn it. And accents, the Russian accents.
Yeah.
I haven't heard worse since, I don't know, a Bond movie or something. You know, it's just terrible, yeah. Right? And the other one, the other thing that they did is, you know, that really basic, you know, poor writing in that, you know, one character explains the whole backstory that character was involved in. You know, it was part of her life, explains her whole life to her, just so the audience will know, you know, that just annoys them. Now at that stage, the arms were well folded. it was just lazy, right? And there'd been, it's not just that it was the nostalgia. They just went way into the nostalgia of it, you know, as well. But if you're going for a comic book, brain at the door, explosions, Terminator 2 didn't have anything on the explosions in this, or the amount of CGI that was in this. It was huge in that regard. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make for a good movie, though.
Yeah. There was a car chase that looked quite a bit like an iconic T2 car chase.
Yes. Yeah. No, there were features. I was sort of going, oh, well, this person is pretty much the Terminator, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there was that. It was like, well, they can't kill it. They can't do blah, blah. It's chasing them, like, you know. Yeah. There was that. There was that similarity. Maybe that's why it sprang into my mind. I couldn't recommend it as a watch, really. And had they cut out, say, a lot of the cringy chat and nostalgia and sort of reminiscing and crying over, you know, stuff that superheroes sort of are supposed to be dealing with, compartmentalizing, you know, and made the movie shorter, it could have been a really good movie. But I don't think there was enough. I think it was ruined from that perspective. Anyway,
so do you think they should just left in the car chases and the action?
Not like even there was a lot of that. There was no need for it. Like, it wasn't progressing the story, and there were some of the explosions were just ridiculous. You know, they would have been absolutely barbecued had they been within 300 meters of them. You know, it's just, you can see it's a massive CGI screen behind them. You know, as the flames go by. You know,
Mike, so, what did you think?
Do you know when you're writing a story in third class and the teacher gives you an essay to write for the weekend, and the one piece of advice they give you as a 7-year-old child is you need a protagonist and an antagonist in your story? So imagine if you make a movie where your antagonist disappears in the fucking movie. How's that going to work out for you? So it's, I just couldn't get over that. It was like, what is the point of this movie? There isn't anyone to fight against. And half the people in it are just stepping stones to try and find somebody to go and fight. You know, it's, okay, your purpose in this movie is to get us to step C, and then you can fuck off.
Yeah. Well, was there anything you liked about it, Mike?
Scarlett's outfit.
Bleak enough. Yeah. Right. So
Scarlett was great, though, I have to say. I could watch Scarlett all week.
I really enjoyed this movie. Right.
Did you?
I agreed with nearly everything you both said, though.
Oh, okay.
So I watched it in the cinema, where it was like the good old days. Had some popcorn in there with an audience, socially distanced or whatever they're pretending that is now.
Yeah.
Big action sequences on a big screen with surround sound. It's hard to beat, right?
Right, so yeah.
I didn't feel the time. It flew by when I was watching it, right? I think, like, well, I'll disagree a little bit. I thought David Harbour was brilliant. He was the Red Guardian.
The comic relief guy.
He was very funny. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was very funny. I also thought that Florence Pugh, who plays the sister,
mm-hmm.
she's pretty funny.
She had the best of it, all right, yeah.
She had the best lines, like.
Yeah.
But
yeah, when she was slagging her about her stances, mm-hmm. that was quite funny.
I did that. So
I thought that was very good.
The wee girl here, she's 11, went to see it with her friend. Mm-hmm. So then at some point during the week, when I was going in to ask her if she wanted tea, I did the Black Widow superhero landing pose. And then after I flicked my long hair back, I went, "Do you want tea?" She just rolled her eyes because she's perpetually embarrassed by everything that I do.
I think you outdid yourself there, Mark.
I tell you what, I practiced it in the sitting room before I went to do it where she was, because if it didn't work and I hurt myself, it would have been terrible. I need to make sure that everything bent the way it needed to. So, so I enjoyed it, but I think the story is poor, and I think there's a fundamental flaw in this movie, mm-hmm. is that it, like you said, Mike, it is a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. She's dead. She doesn't matter. Like, and if there was going to be, some big cosmic shift, which I was kind of mm-hmm. hoping for, yeah. the kind of thing that would get the TVA involved.
You thought maybe she'd be coming back to life or
something. If there's yeah. something like that, then you could go, well, fair enough. It was worth doing some character exposition now. Mm. But like, look at it now. We've spent how long exposing a character we're never going to see again?
Yeah.
And obviously the reason is, well, they were setting up the surrounding characters. So your one Florence Pugh now is going to be in some movie with Hawkeye, I presume, in the future, or a Disney TV show, something.
Well, yeah, the end credits kind of are implying that, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that's going to happen. Like, I hope we see the Red Guardian again. You could throw him in anything. You could put him in anything, like, and he'd be funny.
Speaking of the Red Guardian, is that the all-time worst breakout plan you've ever seen on television?
It was very funny, wasn't it? But you know what? Look at for all the inconsistencies and the wasted dialogue and the poor dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. There were some very funny moments in it. And some of those action sequences, like that parachute scene that there's mm-hmm. trailers out for now,
yeah.
where they do the jump. That was incredible to watch on a big screen. I really yeah. enjoyed that. Like, but my first biggest gripe was it was pointless. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the point of doing a Black Widow movie. Yeah. Why didn't they do it a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Before Endgame,
yeah,
would have stopped them doing
you
that.
You might have cared then, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But it would have made Endgame all the more poignant. But the one thing that I really fucking hated is what they did with the Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Taskmaster that I've read in comics for years. Like,
oh, they went off piece, did they?
Yeah, okay. It did some gender reassignment, which I'm fine with. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. Yeah. But the setup, the powers, everything—it's not the Taskmaster.
Right.
Like. The Taskmaster in the Spider-Man video game is a better character than they had in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really annoyed about that. Yeah.
And what about copying the ending of the Winter Soldier?
I'm trying to remember what the ending of the Winter Soldier was.
It's a great big space fortress crashing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
It's just jokes, baby.
There's only so many ideas in the world, Mike. Yeah. Star Wars... Star Wars 4, Star Wars 6, the same.
They could have done the decent thing and, you know, at least ripped off a different franchise instead of their own fucking back catalog.
Yeah. So this movie suffered from being largely set up and slightly throwaway. I'd like to use that as a segue to talk a little bit about the first season of Loki.
You feel free to do that, Mark.
If you absolutely. Guys are interested.
Right? Absolutely.
At some point while watching season one of Loki, I went, of this WandaVision and the Winter Soldier, this one is the shittest.
Oh, really?
And yeah, 100%. Yeah. I would have watched WandaVision 7 times over, and the Winter Soldier had its moments too, and it was mm-hmm. far better than this one. So like, I felt that the whole point of Loki was to set up Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. That was its only real point. It also, right, look, there's Marvel Comics out for nearly 100 years now. It's coming up on it, right? And there are so many characters in there. It can't be a huge deal whenever you find out that one is in one of these TV shows or movies. That can't be the point. right?
Okay.
So like Johnny Shamrock, the Irish shillelagh wielding superhero. Okay. It can't be a big deal if we see someone that looks like him in a bar in one of these TV shows, but the internet loses its fucking mind. I'm avoiding spoiling what the reveal is here in Loki, but the reveal to me, I'm going, so what? It's another character from the Marvel comic universe, not the MCU.
If the whole point of the internet is so that geeks can geek out over any clue for their geeks.
But there needs to be more. There needs to be more. And it was nearly the climax of the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, man, I don't know.
What would you have done, Mark? How would you have finished it?
Well, first of all, where was the mischief? Loki is the god of mischief. Yeah. And I was sitting there waiting hard. I said, oh, well, just you wait. Just you wait. He's going to fuck everybody over. And he's going to do it really selfishly. And then you'll find out he never cared all along.
Yeah.
Where was it?
And he didn't even push a helpless pensioner down the stairs or anything. Nothing.
Was there not a few instances in the first few episodes, no?
In the first episode, he was Loki.
Yeah, there's a bit of double crossing, that kind of thing. But then did he not realize that to outdo himself?
So what I've learned about Loki, from this TV show is he is the god of mischief to his brother and people he doesn't know very well.
People he doesn't fancy, and he kind of fancies himself.
To everyone else, he's a very sincere, altruistic individual. That's not the god of fucking mischief. Come on, give me a break.
So. I'm hyped for season two after the last episode.
But why though? Because so much is going to change before that season. And what if they use him as Tom Hiddleston is a brilliant actor. Why don't they give him something to do?
I'm in the kind of don't really give a shit kind of camp. I really enjoyed it as a TV show. So as a standalone, you know. So
fair enough.
I'm hyped for the second one. Now I'm not that invested in the timeline of the MCU, and I don't know enough about it, to be critical of it in that angle. But I think as a standalone, I think it was great. And
that's not where I'm coming from, though. Like, I don't mind that this is how they're creating the multiverse, mm-hmm. right? I don't mind that. My issue is that Tom Hiddleston is meant to be the god of mischief.
Okay, yeah.
In this, all right. And he wasn't given any scope to do that at all.
Not mischief enough, yeah.
You know, No, don't get me wrong. I thought there was a lot of really good interactions between him and Sylvie.
I'm curious. You were
Sophia
DiMartino. I read a review this week that said there was a filler episode.
Where could you have read that, Steve?
I know.
Did you happen to read that on whatshouldiwatch.reviews?
I certainly did.
So and I've been
and I've been looking for a filler episode in it, and I can't think of one.
It's the one where they ripped off Snowpiercer.
See, that doesn't help, because I'm not quite sure which one you're talking about still.
It's the one where there was an impending apocalypse, and you had to get on the train to survive it. Remind you of anything?
Yes, okay, yeah.
Was there maybe some class differentiations between the passengers on the train?
They didn't go that deep into it. They just
okay, but we've had movies. We've had movies with evacuations. You know, we've had movies with evacuations that do similar though. I don't think it was necessarily Snowpiercer.
You're right. They could have done a plane and put a load of snakes in it. But the episode. Do you know what the point of that episode was? It was so that Sylvie could talk about enchanting folks. You know, in case they needed it in a later episode.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that came out of it. And I said that at the time. I said that on this show. The only thing in that episode was that.
Yeah.
And I knew then, because I'm not as stupid as I sometimes pretend to be, right? Even though I enjoyed Black Widow.
Dumbass.
When I heard the exposition about enchanting, I went, okay, well, that's going to be super important. So I wonder what they're going to enchant further down the line. Have you finished the season? Do you have different views?
Yeah, I'm finished on it.
I didn't like it enough to finish it.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe you're stuck on the filler episode, Mike, and you need to move on a bit.
I didn't even get to the filler.
Oh, Jesus, Mike, you missed it. Do you remember you liked Snowpiercer? You'll probably like that episode.
Yeah.
So look at the acting, the writing was all good. Okay, I thought
strong. Yeah,
I thought that they hollowed out the Loki character. I didn't think it was it was a fair treatment, to be
Tom
honest.
Middleton's class, I have to say.
He is class. He could have done a lot more. And also because they did that hollowing out, he became just a vehicle to get to the end of the series, which set up a movie. And I don't think that's fair. Like, they could have told a story that mattered, but instead they, stepping stones. We're this is what led us here, right? We're talking about stepping stones. So I thought it was a bit wasteful. Do you know what Loki could have benefited from? The Red Guardian.
A big hammer.
Should have stuck him in there.
A Red Guardian.
if they had David Harbour and Loki, it would have been so much better. Speaking of David Harbour, what about No Sudden Moves? Another movie that he happened to star in, where a group of criminals are brought together under mysterious circumstances and have to work together to uncover what's really going on when their simple job goes completely sideways. Steve, what did you think of this?
1950s Detroit. In a world that's 1950s Detroit. Yeah, so the lads get hired by George of the Jungle, which really blew me away. I was like, holy moly, that's him. Did you notice him?
No.
Picking what's his name? Come to it, Brendan Fraser.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh
lockdown
my god,
lockdown was not kind.
Oh my goodness, dude needs a treadmill. Anyway, I shouldn't be commenting on that. Jeez. So then there's Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, John Hamm was in it, Kieran Culkin was in it, Julia Fox is in it, Ray Liotta was in it. There's packed, right? So I thought I was all geared up. Fantastic. This could be the new Godfather. We just didn't know, right? Or the new Usual Suspects or something like that. So it starts out pretty good. 1950s Detroit. Lads get a job. It's a simple job. They go and babysit someone. Well, they get someone to go and collect a document from an office. And that's it. They get a load of money and off to go in their own happy ways. But something goes wrong. And then they are inspired, let's say, to find out who's behind this job. And to find out what's going on, as Mark said in the intro. So this movie also suffered from too longness, I felt.
Do you think this is Lord of the Rings' fault? They made it socially acceptable to have a 3-hour fucking movie.
did Braveheart not do that first? Was it? No, The Name of the Father.
No, well, look. Well, look, this was only what? It was under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But it just felt a lot more. And I think it was because it was too slow. I think the pace, was too slow on it. Don Cheadle's great in it. Benicio del Toro is good. Doesn't have enough for Dune. I think he could have played a stronger character. You know, it didn't quite suit him.
Not doing enough, though, didn't he?
Huh? Yeah, well, yeah. I just think...
A lot of times he just comes on screen saying, I'm Benicio del Toro.
And he gives the high under-eye... Brendan Fraser, I thought, was great. I wanted to see more of him in the movie. I wanted to see more of that end of it, but it wasn't to be. I don't know. It's kind of a... Would you call it a kind of a chase movie?
It's a classic kind of a crime double-cross movie. It reminded me of like not at the level of LA Confidential, but something like The Heist or something.
Yeah.
It was along those lines. But like a couple of times when I was watching it, I went, am I awake?
Yeah.
Because it was...
Yeah, it's like...
got very slow for a long period.
Am I missing something here? Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Do you know when they say something and you realize that this is a big plot twist? And I went, why is that a big plot twist again? I was definitely sleeping when they said why this is a plot twist.
It is slow, all right. It is slow.
And then I wasn't delighted with the ending of it. I was like, you made me well, there were some bits of the ending that were pretty cool, but overall I didn't like it. And I was going like, I watched so many hours, 17 hours of this film for that. That's what you could do.
Yeah. You know, overall, it really was a swing and a miss for me. I wanted to like it. It looked good. It had all the ingredients. But, yeah.
Mike, did you like it?
Thankfully, no, I didn't. From the sounds of things, I lost a bullet there.
Oh, you didn't get it. Okay, well, yeah, good for you.
Oh, you didn't see it. All right. Okay.
Good for you, in fairness. But I'm presuming that if you didn't get to that, you probably spent a lot of time watching Resident Evil Infinite Darkness.
I did. I was taken a little aback by the appearance of this. I didn't realize there was one in the pipeline. Imagine my unbridled joy when I discovered I had four brand new episodes of Resident Evil goodness to watch.
Is there only four? I'm nearly finished.
It's the downside that everyone's complaining about.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck, there's only four of them.
I've only seen one, so I'm nearly finished too.
They're not even particularly long. You're like looking 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes
total. Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty short, yeah.
So your whole sitting is 2 hours, and then you go back into a world where you don't have any Resident Evil coming. which is a sad state of affairs. So the story itself kind of strangely takes place ages ago, like 2006 or something like that. So I'm struggling to understand in terms of the series or the universe development why they went back that far.
I have a theory.
Go on.
They wanted to have a Leon S. Kennedy who looked like Resident Evil 4 Leon S. Kennedy. And he was the most Resident Evil 4 ass Leon S. Kennedy you've ever seen in your life. He's straight off the cover.
right. And it had to follow the timeline for Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, so when they go, like, the only way they introduced him, he's the guy who saved the president's daughter. He did that in Resident Evil 4. I did that while controlling him.
You had a fine job you did, Mark. Now I did really like the animation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what was your opinion on that? Yeah.
It's. I think some people might think it's too lifelike. It looks a little bit like a PS4 game, you know, where the graphics got so good that it was almost too much.
Yeah, it's like the storyline part of it, you know, where you have to pause and watch the guys interact, and you go, "Come on, I want more action." Yeah, that bit. Yeah. I actually forgot it was I forgot it was an animation at times. It's very real, actually. Do you think they did some ray tracing or what do they call it these days? It's not ray tracing.
Ray tracing is reflection. Sort of green. I don't know what I don't know
green,
what they did.
It's a green suit thing.
But it was really good, definitely. You could be forgiven for thinking it was an actual acted show when you look at it. Yeah. And particularly when they took the characters out as well, when they were looking at scenery, it was very, very lifelike. Mm. It's when I found when they started walking around, they were missing something in the biomechanics.
Yeah.
There's just something missing and was letting them not quite achieve verisimilitude there.
Yeah, it's almost like they take a pause mid-step
something not right about the way they walk.
Without gravity taking over.
Or when they're standing still, they keep moving all the time, like Grand Theft Auto, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I thought it was good, though. Like, it's obviously the story is exactly what you expect from every Resident Evil property, but I still enjoyed it. What did you think, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Made no sense at all, but you just have to go with it because it's a different class of entertainment to something like Marvel, you know, because this takes itself seriously.
Yeah, it's a bit more adulty, I think, as well.
Yeah, and like when people get hurt, they really do get fucking hurt.
Oh, it's owie. It's very ouchy. Yeah. But they play on that as well, you know.
It's rare enough you'd see a cartoon with so much ouchiness in it. Like some of them look like, ooh, really hurt.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to the animation, you know. I don't recall ever... You know, feeling that much for Daffy Duck and the boys when they got whacked. Who was the guy that used to shoot the rabbits?
Elmer
Fudd, yeah.
Wabbits.
I'm just wondering, Mike, is another reason why they set it back when they set it is that it was a follow-up to Resident Evil Degeneration, which is something that I've never seen. I'm just poking around the internet here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think actually, now that I think of it, they're the same character, aren't they?
Leon S. Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. Although why they decided to choose that story instead of, you know, something way down the line, I don't know.
Yeah, they could have told the Biohazard storyline, the the mansion. Mm-hmm. That's some scary ass shit.
Actually, I tell you, there is some shocking fucking writing in it in places. There's one bit where one of the main characters is he's been bottling up inside all that he's been through and all that he's seen.
Hotels.
And he finally sits down and he's gonna unload and, you know, finally talk about this to somebody. And as soon as he starts talking, the other guy says, "Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through." That's it. He completely destroyed the fucking.
Everybody has a friend like that. It's always about them. Very good.
Very good. How many have you watched, Mark?
I think I'm three deep. I think.
All right. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
Coming out.
Yeah, I must get back on that.
I'm coming out the other side now. But there's a new Resident Evil game out. The timing is not coincidental, I imagine. Resident Evil Village is out.
Yeah.
Hearing great things about it. Apparently, it's not as scary. Biohazard that I've mentioned is scary as could be. Really right. Hard. I played the first 2 hours in VR.
You weren't right, man, after it.
I had the headset on and I was my own in the house. And it was like...
That wasn't a good idea, was it?
You know the bit at the start of horror movies where you're kind of looking around and things don't look quite right, you know? And that was happening. And, like, I knew that where I had to go was through this particular door. And I was like, I don't want to go in there. So I searched the whole entire house again to try and find somewhere else to go other than the scary door. In the end, I had to go in. And it scared the shit out of me. I was there with fucking hair standing up my arms.
Deadly. Deadly.
They had great big letters on the wall in blood saying, "Get out.
Get out." Okay. The game over. So did anyone watch Formula 1 at the weekend?
I didn't, Steve, but I think you should tell us about it.
Did anyone see the first lap of the Formula 1 at the weekend?
I heard about the first lap. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to go and watch the first lap because it was two people who were fighting for the world championship head to head on about eight corners, and one of them didn't come out of it too well.
Wasn't there allegations of cheating?
Allegations of acting the bollocks, which are absolutely well founded.
Okay.
And it's been seen before. Actually, it was seen last year and the year before by the same guy, incidentally.
Okay, he's got a track record.
Doing this.
Very good, Mike.
Very good.
Oh, brilliant.
I think that's the perfect moment to leave it there. We just leave you laughing. That's what we should do. Just like cartoons in the 80s. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve, stay classy.